Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the Q&A session on the results for the first 9 months of 2018, Unipol Gruppo. Managing Director, Mr. Carlo Cimbri, will share with you a short introduction. He will then be available for the Q&A session. Dr. Cimbri, please. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you have read the presentation and even the press release. I'm here with the general directors, and we are available for questions. If you want to ask a question, please dial star one on your phone. If you want to opt out, dial star two. Please ask your questions by using the receiver. Once again, if you want to ask a question, please dial star one now. Question number one is from Elena Perini, Banca IMI, please. Good morning. I actually have a couple of questions. Now, the first one concerns the transient actions and measures on Solvency II. We also had the news last week, so do you think you will use this, and which is their impact? Second question is on the changes concerning MV, motor vehicle insurance. We have read many things in the newspapers these days, so something may happen. So, of course, I'm talking about the recent decisions of our government. Any idea about this? I know that we have read everything, so every kind of news. It's kind of difficult to have a clear framework now, but are you thinking about this? And if so, I mean, are you ready to adopt countermeasures if some different tariffs would be imposed in a way which is different than the system that you have now? Thank you. Now, as for your first question, transient or temporary measures. We have read this IVAS, IVAAS document released just some days ago. That was a sort of a surprise for us because we went through the document just a couple of days ago, so we are looking at it. We will assess the pros and the cons of this doc. Now, as for our own situation, I have to say that this is not a hurdle. Let's say that this is something we don't need in inverted commas, but just like you know, every single thing, it's fair to have a look, see what this is, and understand what the consequences may be. Now, based on our own experience and by looking at what happens now in the banking sector, all of these transient or temporary measures are very aesthetic, very cosmetic, if you will, because then, you know, the legislator really, you know, takes a deep dive without considering, you know, temporary measures. This is what happened, you know, for banks some time ago. The IFRS 9 gave them some freedom, let's say, at the beginning of the year. So CET1... this is the phase-in, but then, of course, people look at the fully loaded CET1. And I guess that the same situation will apply to insurance companies. So, once again, to cut the story short, we will assess the impact of this new IVAS document. But of course, we stay focused on the fully loaded. We won't measure the impact of the temporary or transient measures. As for your second question, well, traditionally, so not just today, not just but this government, I have to say that traditionally on the MV, we are used to hear so many different news, every single kind of news, and every single kind of developments. Now, we have read, as you said before, everything in newspapers in these days, but we don't know much more than this. So it's really difficult for me now to answer this question. I may depict a very general, you know, situation, a general framework. Considering the size of our company and considering the role that we have in terms of operator number one in the MV business, we are basically ready to every kind of challenge. And I'm sure that, you know, there may be every single kind of situation, and we are ready to, you know, counteract every situation. But once again, I cannot tell you more than this because I don't have enough insights. Many thanks. If I may, another question on solvency. In the month of October, did you implement the volatility adjustment at VA? And if so, which impact did you have? I think this is a common question. Maybe, you know, other financial advisors who had the same question in their mind. Now, volatility adjusted, so VA, came into force now, if you take into account the sensitivity. So if you take into account the situation we had in September, this is just to give you general sensitivity. So at the end of September, spread was 270 points. Let's say that we had 100 points of difference versus the 270 points just because of the national volatility adjustment, the NVA, which came into force. So 100 points leave the solvency level exactly at the same level we had at the end of September. Okay, thank you. Next question from the conference in English is from Peter Elliott, Kepler Cheuvreux, please.
Thank you, Raj. The first one was actually on the expense ratio. So, I mean, I know Q3 is always seasonally a light quarter, and it was also very light last year. But you know, I mean, it seems that to have been much lighter than sort of the average over the last few years. I was just wondering if you could sort of guide us to the sensitivity to expect going forwards, and were there any sort of one-offs in the number? Secondly, on the solvency, I apologize if this was caught in the last question. I didn't quite catch everything. But I was just surprised, actually, by how small the impact was quarter on quarter. And I was just wondering if you could give us a rough solvency walk from the end of Q2 to the end of Q3. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your questions. Now, question number one, let me give the floor to my colleague, Matteo. Now, as for the ER, or expense ratio, so there's a component that I have to comment, and this concerns the seasonality, typically the third quarter of the year, as you said before, because, you know, the expense ratio is compared to the gross premium. While typically the, you know, third quarter of the year is a quarter where we don't collect much premium because we have the month of August to take into account. So as a consequence, we don't have many commissions, or at least less commissions than in Q1 and Q2. in terms of gross premium. This is, let's say, in compliance with the third quarter. So once again, this is the reason why the expense ratio in the Q3 is usually lower than Q1, 2, and 4. On top of that, don't forget that at the end of the last year, we have signed a new agreement with agents. Now, this agreement, among others, includes MV commission level, which is lower than the one we had in the previous agreement. So this is also, you know, the impact that we can see these days. So this is not a one-off, as you said. It's a seasonal effect plus a structural effect, which is due to the new contract.
Okay. Could I come back on that quickly? Would you be able to quantify the structural effect within that from the commissions from the new agreement?
Now, as for the structural effect, I think it will be around 0.2%, between 0.1% and 0.2% only.
Thank you.
As for your second question, now, as for, you know, the solvency and the difference between, you know, Q2 and Q3, you asked for some details. Now, as for Unipol Gruppo, UG, shows an improvement by 1% between Q2 and Q3. In this case, we have a balance that depends on the negative impact, I mean, 4 points, which is due to the spread evolution between the 30th of June and the 30th of September. There we have a 1 point positive impact generated by the transfer of ARCA. You know that between Q2 and Q3, ARCA was sold to UG, Unipol Gruppo. This transaction was approved at the beginning of the year, but then we had to wait for the IVASS authorization. So the transfer took place after the end of June. This means plus 1 point for Unipol Gruppo, and 4 points, positive points, come from the ordinary generation of profits. So this is the, result of the period. This is why the balance is positive. As for Unipol SAE on a consolidated level, now, the situation here is a little bit more complex. A negative balance of 5 points between Q2 and Q3. This is due to a negative effect, 6 points because of spread. Now, basically, you know, we have 6 points for Unipol SAE, just like we had 4 points for Unipol. ARCA, now, for them, this is an acquisition. So this means an additional absorption by 12 points between June and September. But all of this is sort of compensated in the following way. We have 6 points thanks to the generation of profit. This is the result of the, financial operation. Then we have many other effects. Total is 7 positive points. The main item, definitely the most important one, is the effect of the fair value adjustment of provisions coming after the modification that has taken place of the discount curve. So the rates went up a little bit. I'm not talking about spread. I'm really talking about basic rates on different, you know, maturity dates. So this means that we have to actualize provisions, which is different versus the end of June. So this translates into a positive effect, which is once again the prevailing part of the total 7 positive points. So once again, so we have the balance, and then we have profits, other sectors, provisions, and ARCA. So the general framework is minus 5. So this is the change or the difference between the two quarters.
Okay, thanks very much.
Next question from the conference in Italian, Giuseppe Mattelli, Equita. Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is the frequency, because the frequency, you know, goes down on the market. Can you tell us why frequency is going down? So do you think it's a structural reason or a contingent reason? Second question is on the non-MV business. Can you give us a color on the competition that you have on the market? I mean, in terms of other, incumbents, but also, let's say, the new insurance companies, which are basically banks. Thank you. Now, first question on frequency. Now, as far as we are concerned, what we see is basically a flat frequency, which is around 5.6%. This is what's happening on the claims. So once again, this is really, really very flat. The level is very low, and the situation is unchanged. As for the MV business, this is what we see positively these days. In terms of claims, the situation is very good. Now, it's basically minus 4.5% year on year. And what we see is the continuation of the mix improvement. So not just for us, but also for the companies we control, Arca Assicurazioni and Linear. Now, this concerns at least the part that concerns the MV business. I think that, you know, this is something that's sort of positive for us, and the situation keeps being very positive, especially in the first weeks of Q4. So these elements have generated or triggered an improvement on the current MV business. As for the non-MV business, as you said, may I just add the following? Now, this is sort of difficult because we don't know whether or not this is structural. But anyway, as far as our portfolio is concerned, there's a wide dissemination, a wide use of the black box. And, of course, this does have some effects or consequences on our business. For example, there's an impact on the behavior of people because people know that there's a black box. Now, once again, all of these effects cannot be seen clearly because it's a behavioral thing. Anyway, we know that this has an impact on claims and accidents and claims raised by people, after accidents. So this is something we see even if it's difficult to measure. We also have moral situation in terms of managing their cars. So once again, I have no evidence of this. I mean, it's a feeling, but of course we expected an increase of the frequency, but this is not happening, and so we are well under 6%. So and we've been there for almost 3 years. As you said, is this structural? Well, it's still an unanswered question. It's difficult for me to say. I think so, because now this has been happening for 3 years. I mean, for many different reasons. I'm just talking about, the black box in our portfolio, but we also have many other reasons. So some of these factors are leading me to think that, yes, this should be a structural trend. What about the non-MV business? My question was on what competitors are doing in terms of price. I know that you should be, separating every single business, and I know that in this market, I mean, there's a price competition, but also a quality competition or product quality competition. It very much depends on the kind of product which is sold. Anyway, so if we break down our business into different lines of businesses, for example, the corporate part and then the individuals and then the small and medium enterprises, we have a very positive trend on the so-called individuals, so the so-called small and medium enterprises, which is, by the way, the highest margin component. We've carried out a fantastic underwriting policy, so the evolution is smaller on the corporate side. I need to say this because I mean competition from bank assurance operators is basically focusing on individuals. I mean, maybe in the future they will try and get into the small and medium enterprise business. But for the time being, we don't see any distortion onto the evolution and development of our prices and premiums. Of course, our channel has been growing much faster than many other traditional channels in the past years. So in the future, we may feel the consequence of new operators trying to get into the market. So this may, be happening. Anyway, as I said before, competition is not just on the price. I mean, quite often it is on the content of the products. So under this perspective, I think that considering the product, range that we offer, we do have stronger advantages as compared to competitors, especially those, let's say, using other, channels to get into the market. Next question from the conference in English from Michael Hartman, J.P. Morgan, please.
Thank you very much. I have three questions. The first one is on your motor business. Can you say what the trend or the figures are in terms of reserve releases, 9 months versus 6 months, maybe? The second is in terms of the very large claims or the weather impact we had, whether you can say how much this might cost in Q4. And then the final question is... am I right to understand that motor is kind of flat overall, or is there actually an improvement? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Now, as for the change on provisions or reserves in the first 9 months. Basically, we have maintained the same policy unchanged. I mean, exactly what we did last year. So this means that on the motor vehicle business, on the MV, we have provisions. So this means the value is 3.3 points on the combined ratio. Last year we had 3.2%, so basically unchanged. And on many other divisions, in general, we have 8.4, while last year we had 8.2. So in terms of total consolidated combined ratio on a group level, I mean, we have 94.5, so we have 0.56 point for the provisions, while we only had the 5.4 in 2017. There's a second question, right, concerning the most recent events. Now, we have read plenty of events on the newspapers. Basically, this concerns, the current quarter, not the previous one. So, as of today, we don't have enough insights to quantify. Claims that we have received are really very small, just some millions of euros. But so these events have just taken place, so it is too early. I mean, we don't have, enough information because, it's not just one single major event, so you can really quantify this even before we receive claims. So it's many, many different weather events, concerning different kinds of weather events all over the country. So it's really too early to really understand if we are involved, how much, and where. So once again, we don't have enough information to answer this question for the time being. And there was a third question. Just one second. Your question on the MV. Okay, let me tell you that in terms of market, I can tell you that, well, I don't know exactly what happens on the market. I know, of course, what happens to us, what's happening to us. This is what I told Matteo in the previous, answer. In our portfolio, we see, flat frequency rate. And, my colleague, Mr. Mappelli, said that apparently this is now becoming structural. Once again, it's difficult to confirm. I mean, I tried and, this is really based on our own portfolio, and our portfolio does not represent the entire market, for example, in terms of black boxes. For instance, we have almost 4 million black boxes installed on 10 million cars. So 40% of our MV or car portfolio is represented by, cars equipped with black boxes. Once again, in a structural point of view, the frequency is very flat and on a low level, and it's been like this for many months. What we have now is 5.6. It was 5.8% at the beginning of the year, so the trend is a downtrend. So there are less claims with injuries, for example, collisions. Now, this is very important for us because it improves a lot of the quality of the, so-called technical ratio. Once again, the question is this structural? Apparently, it is. This is not just based on the last quarter's details, but we have 22% of claims with injuries, personal injuries. This is what we had some years ago. Today, this rate is 16% on Unipolsai.
Brilliant. Thank you.
In 2017, it was 17%. So this is also becoming structural. Once again, it's really difficult to say why. Maybe more safety, so a higher level of safety of today's cars. Speed limit checks on the road and in the motorways. Black boxes, I mean, many different factors. I mean, there are many, many different factors, justifying this slowdown. Plus, the management side. I mean, I think we're really doing great in terms of, pain, damages. So we have top performances. It's one of the highest or best level on the market in terms of the, payment speed. And, at the same time, we try and, reduce the average cost of damages. So this has to do with management. I mean, it's a question of efficiency and effectiveness that's typical of our company. So once again, all these factors, if you put them together, even if prices do not go up on the market, so there's been a reduction by more than 20% in the past 3 years. Prices are not going up as quickly. But anyway, we look for margins thanks to the, effectiveness and efficiency of the management that we have here. So once again, figures are improving, not because the market is accepting increased prices, but we work on the passive side. So we try and control and reduce costs.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Next question from the conference in Italian, Alberto Villa Intermonte, please. Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions on the banking business. So my question is, what about the profitability that we saw in the first 9 months this year? Do you think that this profitability level will continue, or do you expect an improvement? And then I know that you've given us some color on the, let's say, non-performing loan recovery, the rate is 32% on the gross book value for the non-performing positions. So this is higher than the depreciation of these loans. So can you expand a little bit on how much you expect you will have in terms of collection of non-performing exposures in the next quarters? And will you only work on an internal workout, or do you think there may be some portfolio transfer? And then last but not least, back on the banking business, we keep reading articles and comments on the newspapers with a possible merger with Unipol Banca. So once again, I know that this is not fresh news. Can we have an update on this? Considering that you are a big shareholder, a major shareholder in BPER, so there may be some delay in presenting or submitting the bank's business plan. Maybe this has to do with a debate still going on with shareholders? Okay, let me try and answer the question on the banking business profitability level. Now, this is the first financial year in which the bank doesn't have to think of the non-performing loans. I mean, this, let's say, carve-out has taken place at the beginning of February. So once again, it is the first, in inverted commas, financial year, ordinary financial year for that bank, because now we are clean, so to say. So in the financial statements of the bank, you don't see any extraordinary items, positive or negative. I mean, there's no extraordinary items of any kind. So this is a structural negative component. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it is the contribution that we have to pay in order to comply with the central government request in order to save national banks around 10 million euros. So this is the only negative item that you can find in the financial statements of every single bank. So this depends on the size of the bank. So apart from this, I have to say that under this perspective, this is structural. Now, of course, banks will take advantage of a possible increase of the rates. So our bank has no significant exposures in Italian govies. No, they are into our group. They are part of our group. So they have a very well-controlled financial management. This is part of the group, so we don't have risky exposures. So at least a significant risks. So I know that portfolio now is clean, as I said before, because we have, you know, sold non-performing exposures. We still have some, but the value is around 100. Yes, it's exactly 150 million euros I'm likely to pay, and the coverage here is 46%. So we also have 70 million past due and 100 million euros contracts that it was impossible to sell. So in general, the non-performing exposure in general is covered or hedged at a 50% level, but you cannot compare this to any other bank in the system, because many other portfolios also include, you know, some bad loans. Anyway, so we now have the in bonis portfolio, so the performing loans. In this case, we are reaching 7 billion euros. In this case, we have 70 points cost of risk. Well, it's actually between 65 and 70, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, my colleague confirms 70 basis points. This is the cost of risk that applies onto our in bonis, so performing portfolio. Once again, the bank sticks to the group's philosophy. We have very cautious, prudent policies, and you must have seen this thanks to the fact that we are, you know, using our provisions. We are now saving two provisions, provisions of the MV, which is 43%, and the total product liability, 67%. So on the claims that we pay for, on average, we have these savings. But you see that we basically have a 5 points our provisions, which is what we did last year as well. So we are strengthening the solidity of the provisions of the group. Now, we have a 50% coverage, but anyway, we've been able to have 70 points you know, of provisioning on the portfolio. So I think this is structural. As for REC, so we have 250, savings is 32%. At the end of the year, we have sold the 10% of the original stock, so it's basically 300 million euros gross portfolio. This is 10%. As for the recovery percent rates based on today's data, well, they won't be very much different versus the rates we had in the previous quarter. We don't have enough information to have, you know, longer term forecasts, but it goes without saying that we will try and continue like this. So this is why we manage the situation like this. So we think we will have higher collections, better than selling the entire portfolio. So this is what we're doing. Now, results are positive and encouragement. Now, working on to the industrial recovery plan. So, never say never. So, we may have alliances with other organizations. So we may do many other things. I don't know for the time being. Of course, if our, let's say, system is performing and we may consider, well, other options, by ourselves or with other organizations. Now, of course, if you consider the industrialized activity in terms of recovery or collection out of the banking business, for the time being, we are obtaining good results that I have just explained, and I'm sure we will confirm this at the end of the year. As for your third question, so this is becoming structural. I mean, so this is the question on BPER. So I have already talked about BPER in my last presentation. So we're working with that bank. We try and get the best results out of that bank. We want to have a top quality, you know, management, so that they can do something top quality, which is very similar to what we have, so top quality in terms of insurance. Now, when you think of the future, when you think of the vision that we have on the banking business, well, I think that the banking business will have to go through further consolidation. Banks will become bigger. This is for sure. This is what we believe. This is what will happen on the system. So, because of what happens now on the market, is that this bank may get into the group. So we may want to have a bank. BPER is one of the options. As you said before, we have shares, stocks in that company. I saw the results yesterday. And so we are one of their shareholders. So we are the most important shareholder for BPER. So we are very happy of their good results. So if the bank works fine, we are very happy. Unfortunately, the contingent, so the situation of the market is not excellent. So, of course, these results do not necessarily translate into top quality, very high performances in terms of the evolution of the stock price. But, of course, we are, let's say, long-term investors in BPER. So we are with them today, but we will also be with them in the future. So we think that this bank works very well with plenty of commitments in terms of reducing non-performing loans, but also and especially, or at least, you know, this is what I hope for the new industrial plan, because the bank is now working on the new industrial plan, and the context will be a little clearer, hopefully, than, you know, the context in which we are today. So probably in the next financial year, this bank, we think, has the potential to do better. So as shareholders of that bank, we are very happy. Now, this bank may be a good option. So if we have the right conditions for Unipol Banca, we will take this into account. For the time being, we are simple shareholders. We have 15% shares, which is unchanged versus the level that we have shared with you some time ago. Okay, so 15% is flat. It's not going up, not going down. Yes, 15% is flat. I mean, this doesn't depend on the evolution of the market today. I know that we have the option, we can go up to 20% if we want, but as you know very well, there's a condition there. So we have to assess thoroughly the quality of their business and the industrial plan of that bank. So for the time being, we haven't, let's say, taken advantage of that option, but that option is still open, so we may want it to move up to 20%. Thank you. Dr. Chimbri, for the time being, we have no other questions booked. Okay, then, thank you so much. Thank you for participating in this conference call. Thank you for your questions. So this means we have the opportunity to better explain our results. I will see you or hear you in February 2019 for the end of the year results. Many thanks. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon.